Anytime, yep. Anytime you're ready.
We're good to go.
Oh, we're good to go. All right, good. Let me tell you what I'm doing. What I'm doing is putting together a component of my Joomla website that will be accessible by some of my students that are in my training and coaching program for real estate.
Okay.
What I'm doing is I'm using PowerPoint, Camtasia, and I'm using like a whiteboard to present certain topics every week via webinar. We're using GoToWebinar, and I'm also recording it. So if they miss the call or the webinar, they can go to the area of Joomla and watch it.
Okay.
And I've got a few folks that have already interested in signing up for it as a membership. There'll be a monthly fee for the training.
Yeah.
And so what I'm using is, and all this stuff is new to me, and all this stuff is pretty much me using your website, so this is a good testimony for you
to train myself on
the technical aspect of putting together a membership site for my own purposes. So what I've done is for the payment portion, the recurring payment portion, I've used Infusionsoft.
Okay, Infusionsoft.
Okay, yeah. It answers that question.
Yeah.
Infusionsoft to do the email marketing and all that other stuff, you know what it does, and then to do the basket and for the payment.
Yeah.
Now, the problem...
Is there a plug-in? Like, I don't use Infusionsoft.
Uh-huh.
So is there a plug-in for Joomla available with it?
For Infusionsoft, basically what I do, and I'm going to get to the point where I'm going to have to answer that question. I've been basically using their web form capture mechanism.
Okay.
And inserted that into my web pages so that that can be the portal into Infusionsoft for getting the information in. There's also an API function that you can use, but I haven't even gone that far because that's above and beyond my scope of my expertise, which is very small.
Yeah.
And so this at a basic level, what I want to do is a couple things. I've got some videos uploaded to my website so far, but I want to be able to also upload, and this is probably a simple answer, upload some PDF files and some Word documents so that they can just click on it and download it. Now, I've done that a couple times, but I don't think I'm doing it right.
I
think what I'm doing is just kind of uploading it into the articles page as a hyperlink, but when they click on it, they get blocked because they go to my host page.
Okay.
And then obviously they can't access it because they don't have the host login from the server.
Yeah, okay.
That's the first question. And I know I spoke a lot, so I'll let you answer that question.
Well, let's step back a little bit. And if you remember from the membership site secrets video, the one thing that I said, and that's not the Joomla videos. There's another course called How to Start a Profitable Membership Site.
Okay.
And there's seven videos that are actually not Joomla related necessarily, but it's more about membership sites because that's what you're talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And the thing that I suggest, and again, the thing that I always suggested in those is that you always pick your billing system first. For the membership site system.
Okay.
Because 99% of the support questions that you get in membership sites are lost usernames and passwords and billing questions. Okay. So the first thing that I would suggest that you take a look at, just understand how you're going to manage the billing and the access to the membership site, specifically this case you've got Joomla going, so that you can have something that you're not manually entering or removing or editing. Okay? So that's why I was asking if Infusionsoft has a plug-in for Joomla, which I suspect that there probably is somewhere, and you know, might want to do a quick Google search, and let me just do a one now, actually. Community and Infusionsoft. They've actually, Infusionsoft is actually using Joomla.
Right.
They are, so I would suspect there's got to be one.
Okay.
There isn't much in there. This was 14 hours ago. There isn't much in there, but Infusion Alliance has a Joomla hack that upgrades the user component so that we'll post the contact to Infusion through the API. It only sends the name, email, username, and password currently as an easy to put up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in one. So the only reason I'm saying that is because what often happens is that you get things going and you base it on something that works today in the short term.
Mm-hmm.
And you start getting your users all trained and you get people going and then you realize that it doesn't scale. So
right.
You know, if you're doing realtors and you know you're only going to have 100 realtors ever signed up as members, then it's not really an
right.
issue, right? But if you have 1,000 realtors a year and a half or 2 years from now,
right.
you're going to start mucking around with, well, who has access to what and who has still access to what? Who has paid, who hasn't paid? How do I check? So you want to think really, really hard up front. And obviously I'm saying this for people who are listening to this after the fact and to you as well.
Right.
You want to think really, really hard about what the goal is for the membership site and how am I going to manage the users and the billing and the access of the users over the long term.
Okay.
So I would, you know, homework right away is just go and find out if there is something that's actually doable for Joomla and Infusionsoft. And the one that I recommend always is the A-Member plugin.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I do is because the A-Member plugin automatically creates users in Joomla based on them buying something, and it automatically removes users in Joomla based on their subscription ending.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no admin or support issues from your point of view that relate to the Joomla membership site. They log into, you know, they log in. Technically, when they're logging into Joomla, they're really logging into a member.
Okay.
So it's one username, one password controls their a membership and also their Joomla membership.
Okay.
Anything changes in a member, it's automatically reflected in Joomla. And I'll just give you an example of stuff that happens.
Right.
Let's say, for example, and this is, you know, this is stuff that I've run into. Someone signs up with a member, but they have a PayPal email address that's different than their user's email address.
Okay.
So, and that always happens, right? People, you know, they register with name@domain.com, and then when they do the billing system, they pay with PayPal@domain2.com.
Right.
And then what happens is they phone up and say, well, how come I can't get access? And here's my email address. It's PayPal@domain2.com. And you're going and trying to figure out, well, that's the billing email address that they used, and you're in Infusionsoft going there. And then, you know, you sent them over to register at Joomla, which created another record where they used a different email address and a different password.
Right.
So you end up spending 10 minutes or 15 minutes or someone on your support team. If you know, if you're big enough that you've got someone to handle your billing and stuff, then they're spending 15 minutes trying to, match up who's who, and who has access to what. So that's the sort of the first kind of thing that you should look at. So you know, and make some decisions kind of up front, knowing that this is where I want to be in 6 months or 12 months or 18 months or 24 months out from now. Okay.
Yeah. That it's there's another membership management, I guess, plugin that you recommended. I can't remember the name of it because I saw it on one of your videos.
There's one called the AEC.
Okay.
Which is Account Expiry Control, and that's one that's specific to Joomla. And when I did the last videos, it only worked really well on the old version of Joomla.
Oh, okay.
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 But there are some other ways to do it, and I'll give you another example. There's one called JFusion or MySQL Auth, and these are some plugins at Joomla that will automatically basically read the Infusionsoft SQL tables.
Mm-hmm.
So those are ones that, you know, if and you're using the hosted version of Infusionsoft? It's all hosted,
yes.
Right?
It's all hosted, yeah.
Yeah, so you wouldn't be able to do that. Because they just read the SQL database, and I'm sure that Infusionsoft isn't giving you access to that. They're only making it available through the API. So I do a little bit of homework on that one and see what other users are doing to hook them up and just have that in the back of your mind.
Okay, I'll pose that question to them and see what kind of solutions they recommend.
Yeah, and I just did a quick search for, you know, Joomla plugin for Infusionsoft, and it brought me right to the Infusionsoft forum.
Uh-huh.
And I would suspect that they're doing something because they're running Joomla.
Right.
Infusionsoft is running Joomla. So right, I would hope that they have their own software hooked up to it.
Yeah, I'm sure that they have something.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So that's the first thing. Second thing is videos. What format are the videos in?
The videos I'm using Windows Media.
Windows Media video.
That's what you recommended because I guess it's more universal.
Well, yeah, there's two sort of, and here's the second question. Do you want to give people the videos at some point or give them access to the videos as a separate downloadable product? Or do you want to keep them strictly where they have to log in and see them on your site? Or buy a DVD, for example.
Right, because I get where you're going with it to protect the copyright, and I heard you talk about that before.
Yeah, and again, it depends on your market and what you're doing and if you care.
Right. Well, what I want to do, I don't mind so much that because the modules are going to be rolled out every month.
Yeah.
And so if they paid for that month, they can have at it for the videos and the training materials for that month. That's for them to keep. So at this point, I'm not really that concerned with them being able to download and, you know, to get the product and have it on their hard drive.
Okay.
But at when the training is done at the end of the course in November, one of the products coming out of this, I'm going to record everything. And the entire training program, including the video, the audio, and all of the written material, is going to be put together into a product that will be sold separately.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know.
Is it going to be a physical product, like on a DVD, or is it a...
Yeah, it's going to be a physical product with DVDs, CDs, and a CD with forms, and also written paper materials in a binder.
Okay, so let's sort of revisit the videos for a little bit. Do you know if you have any Mac users, or is Mac users a big part of your business?
I'm assuming that pretty much most, if not all, are going to be Windows or Microsoft users.
Okay, then it's not really too much of an issue which one that you end up using. If you're creating these with Camtasia, what you might want to do is do both a Flash version. And which version of Camtasia do you have?
Six?
Okay, so
here's
the interesting part. If I get a little bit too technical, just sort of stop me. The way that the video stuff works, and this has even changed since, you know, I did the videos, this changed with version 6 of Camtasia.
Mm-hmm.
Version 5 and previous of Camtasia used to output Flash videos with the extension .flv, okay, which for all intents and purposes was Adobe's version of a certain codec called MPEG-4 or MP4 files. Windows Media Videos, the WMV files, is the Microsoft version of MP4. Okay,
right.
And Apple's version of MP4 is the MOV files. Okay.
Okay.
And then there's actually a one that's just got an MP4 extension. So for all intents and purposes, they're all the same kind of videos, but it's like they have a different envelope around them.
Right.
And the envelope is stuff that's, you know, that's specific to Apple, specific to Windows, specific to Macromedia or, you know, Flash or whatever. And they do that so they can do some neat stuff with their own versions of it. But for the quality of the videos, they're all pretty much identical. They're the same codec.
Okay.
So having said that, what happened with version 6 of Camtasia is they actually stopped using the FLV format. And now you can, if you choose an like Flash output, it actually gets outputted in an MP4 format.
Wow.
Which is the same one that shows up like with in iPods or QuickTime players. It uses the MP4 extension. So, and I actually tried this on the site. Right now, if I put a Camtasia 6 video in an MP4, it actually uses the QuickTime plugin to run it.
Okay.
So and this has all changed just since version 6, which came out, like, I guess, what, a month ago kind of thing? The new version came out a month ago. So I'm not entirely sure what's going to happen in this particular case. But here's my suggestion, because you're at the start. How many videos do you have created now?
We've only got probably 6 or 7.
Okay, that's great. What I would suggest that you do is, if you have the videos, you've done the PowerPoint presentations, you've got the raw CamRec files or the AVI files, right?
Right.
What I would do is I would go and output those videos in a couple of different formats, one being the Windows one that you've already done, but do the other Flash option one as well.
Okay.
And just sort of keep them in your back pocket.
Okay, this was backup. Okay.
Yeah, okay. And so it just gives you some more flexibility later on down the road. And I'll give you an example of how you might want to consider using it. If you and again, Joomla, how are you going to present the videos in Joomla? Are you going to embed them into an article?
That's what I've been doing, and that, you know, basically I've just used a pointer to point to a file that has all my videos, and it, as soon as you open that article page, the video is open, you just got to press play.
Okay.
And that's the only way I really know how to do it right now.
Okay.
You know, I know that there's a way you can do it as a hyperlink, but I haven't figured that out.
Okay, well, that's fine. Now, are you using one of the Joomla components to do it? Are you using all videos?
Right now, there's a plugin that I have for the videos. I'm not quite sure which plugin it is. It's because my webmaster put it together.
Okay. Okay. So here's the. Let me just go in. Can I go to one of the pages and see what you've done?
Sure. Sure. Go to ESQVentures.com.
Yep.
Okay. And you'll see an investments tab on top. Click on investor coaching and training.
Okay. Hang on one sec. Okay. Maryland Properties coaching program, membership levels, uni. Okay, you got 4 articles there?
Yeah, click on the investor coaching and training with 4 articles, and it's the, let's see which one it is, the, you can click on either the first one or the second one. The second one is one that we did a couple weeks ago. That's a long one.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
I'm just going to look at properties here. Okay. Yeah, that's the Silverlight plugin, which is nice.
Okay.
content, screencast.com, users, Esquire folder, default. Okay, yeah, so you're keeping your content up at Screencast then?
Yeah, I've been playing with it. I've used Screencast just to see how that works.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm open to whatever works. I know that I can use it right onto my, because I've got unlimited bandwidth on my server.
Yeah, for videos, though, you don't want to use it on the... On your own servers. I don't even use it on my own servers.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you do? You've got a separate server just for videos.
No, I actually use Amazon.
Oh, you use Amazon. Okay.
I use the Amazon S3, and it costs me less to serve it the big videos up from Amazon than it does to serve it from my own servers.
Oh wow.
Yeah, like for mine, I've got probably 40 or 50 gigs.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not that much. Let's say I've got probably 10 gigs of stuff up there, but it costs me like $10 a month.
Okay, well, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and you know what the great part is? Because they're videos and they're large,
mm-hmm.
it's just a much better system than using a shared hosting service to distribute
mm-hmm.
videos.
Okay.
It's the right thing to do. So, okay. So you've got the Screencast there. You're running it off of Screencast. It fits in the template. And let me just look. I think what they're doing is they're not using any particular plugin. They're just using the Screencast JavaScript code to put the video in.
Mm-hmm. I'm the one who put it in, actually.
Did you? Okay, so you did.
Yeah, I did it.
You just put a little bit of JavaScript in and into the article?
Yeah, basically what I've done is my webmaster had this, a plugin or a file that he created. He created a content that is like a code insert file.
Okay.
And I just copy it says RDADDPPHP file equals code insert slash with the name of the file, and I put that into the article page and it pops up.
Okay, so you got a little thing there. It's not the way I would have done it, but it looks like it's a way there that you've got it working. So
we tried to do it the other way, with just putting the code from Screencast.
Yeah.
And he said that there's something with the new version of Joomla with the
it strips
protection.
Out all the code.
It strips out the code, so you had to do it this way.
Yeah, and that's actually a good point. There's a question I answered on the forum on that. There's a setting in the default Joomla editor. That when you install Joomla, by default it has it like on the most secure version.
Uh-huh.
So anytime you try and put JavaScript or a PHP code in an article, it
uh-huh.
removes it. So you have to go to the extensions manager and you have to relax the security settings on the editor, and
uh-huh.
then it will allow you just to cut and paste code in. So
gotcha. Same problem on my because my web form codes that go into Infusionsoft,
it would get stripped out, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's actually, I did a little video on it on the editors, and it's in the forum, too, if you get stuck on it. And I actually recommend using a different editor than the standard one that comes with Joomla, but that's a whole other
okay.
issue. Okay, so having said that, there's... you know, you can continue to do it this way. One of the things that I do recommend is, and again, there's a video on in my site on all videos.
Mm-hmm.
It's called All Videos, and mm-hmm. that All Videos is a plugin that works right within in Joomla, and it allows you basically to plug content in wherever you want. And I've got it set up so that my content is coming right from Amazon.
Okay.
And there's a couple videos that show how that works as well. Okay.
Right.
And the one of the reasons that I like the little Amazon feature is because what you can do is that allows you to reuse the same videos, I guess the same way a Screencast does, but you can reuse those links anywhere you want, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because you're not just limited to what's in the Joomla site. You actually can have an individual link to each of the videos.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, you can continue. Is Screencast expensive?
It's not bad. I think I'm paying like $9 a month.
Yeah, and you've got a whole bunch of space.
Yeah, I can't remember how much, but it's more than what I need for right now. it came with Camtasia, and it was a solution that was in front of my face, so I just figured I'd try it.
There's a little bit of sales psychology there, right?
A little upselling it back in. Yeah, there you go.
You're in a membership site even though you bought a piece of software.
Hey, they've been talking to Dan Kennedy, right?
Someone, anyway. Someone. They've been talking to their bankers. But, yeah, so that's, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other. You know, what the system you've got with Screencast and that little bit of code I'm sure will work. The thing that you know, that I'm always wary of is how can I reuse the content in other places easily and effortlessly?
Okay.
So, you know, if you've got a little bit of script that allows you to put the link in, that's great if you can reuse the script again on, let's say you wanted to make an ebook, and it had links to 10 videos in the ebook. Would you be able to put that hyperlink in and have the videos come up and play?
It should.
Yeah, it should, but that's an example of just making sure that you can use the videos that you have and the formats and the accessibility to them in other places if you need to. That's all.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
I'll keep it in the back of my thoughts.
Because the last thing you want to do is get sort of tied in where, you know, you're hooked into one system and an opportunity comes along. Sometimes, you know, I'll give you an example. Someone says, you know, can we white label your site? Or can we do something? Can you do an ebook up for my 10,000 investors from E.F. Hutton or whatever, you know? And you know, just do an ebook up, and then you go because you're tied into some other system. Whereas, you know, if they were accessible in other areas, you could have, you know, cut and paste 10 links somewhere and had the new system set up. Okay.
I'll try to test it. So you're saying. Yeah. That one link should be accessible if I want to put that link on YouTube, an ebook, any article, anything I publish. It should be able to click on it, a hyperlink, and get right to it.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Now, here's the other second part to that.
Okay.
You have to make sure that if that's what you want to do, someone can't just join your membership site, unless you're not worried about this, and cut and paste the link that's there, and now have access to all your content.
Right. Yeah. There's the security feature, too.
Yeah, so just keep, you know, again, some people don't care. Some people, like I know we have some guys who are Forex guys, and they do some proprietary stuff that's proprietary to them, and they don't want someone coming in and joining for a day and a half, copying all the links, and then, cancel. And then all of a sudden you see what everyone's doing up on some other site for free, or they're up on YouTube or something.
Right.
Okay, so just, you know, again, make sure that you kind of think it through. And, you know, the one thing that I have done over the last couple of years is I get less and less anal about people copying my stuff. Because what I try and do is make sure that if anything that I'm doing is copyable, there's always references back to my other.
Yeah, so you get, at least you get to use them as free leads.
Yeah, exactly, because what happens is, you know, when it's early, and let's say you do a course and there's, you know, you've got six or seven videos done, and you go, oh, great, I got six or seven videos. Each video is a half hour long or 20 minutes long. I got 5 hours or, you know, 4 hours of great content or 3 hours of great content, and I'm going to charge this much money for them. And you go, you know, that's important because it's like your baby, right?
Right.
But if it's 6 months from now and you got 160 videos, who cares if six of them are public?
Yeah. As long as they're viralized and they point back to you,
exactly.
That's a good thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, at some point, I think we're going to see, you can already see the price points are changing, you know, even in the internet marketing space. Stuff that used to sell for $97 is now selling for $7.
Right.
And at some point, a lot of the stuff that was selling is free.
Yeah.
So, again, you've got to kind of think and say, okay, what's the life cycle of my information? What I'm creating, is it something that's evergreen? And I hope you've heard me use that word before.
Oh, sure, definitely.
Yeah, so that you can reuse it, repurpose it. Is it stuff that I want to make free, or is it stuff that I want to charge for? Like, you know, the 52 Secret stuff that I do, is that was my original product.
Okay.
But I give it away for free now.
Right.
That's
because it brings
generation.
In more. Yeah, definitely.
You know, stuff
okay,
changes.
Okay, so I'll think about that. And so it sounds like I should have probably one, for where I am now, I really don't need to really worry about the proprietary issue too much.
No.
But at some point, I need to start thinking about, okay, how am I going to use these videos, especially as a marketing tool, and which videos are going to be accessible for free and I don't care about because I want it to go out there, and that should be probably hosted on an open source, and then the ones that are particular and more secure for my classes and for my students should be probably somewhere else.
Well, yeah, they don't necessarily have to be somewhere else, but they have to be more difficult to get to.
I think Screencast has a feature that you can actually you can put a protection code or some login feature.
And then when they click on the link, you set the link up so that you know there's a if they're logged in or whatever, there's a little token or goes with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just keep that in the back of your head. I don't think you have to. My personal preference, and this is what happens a lot with membership sites, is that people don't launch their membership site till it's perfect,
mm-hmm.
which is, I would launch your membership site as soon as it starts to earn money.
Right, exactly. And, I'm at the cart before the horse because I could have launched, enrollment should have started a long time ago, but I have to sort of like say good is good enough and then learn through going,
exactly.
The first class, it is what it is, and
yep.
Every time you go around, you get better and you learn. So
exactly. Like I got lots of people that are doing Joomla stuff, but I have to have commenting and I have to have a forum and a download manager and I've got to have a social bookmarking set up and I got to have this up and I got to have 400 videos in there before I open. No.
No. Yeah. I just want to get it going.
If someone's willing to pay now, take their money.
Exactly.
I have some people saying, I got people signing up for stuff the site's not even launched yet.
Right.
Great.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's
okay.
A good thing.
So we got memberships and billings. We got videos.
Mm-hmm. And then actually, when I signed up for My Small Biz U, I already had my hosting and everything through a separate guy who did the Joomla sites and everything. So I didn't really need the hosting. I never accessed it.
Yep.
But what I want to do now is use My Small Biz U and use some of the landing pages because what I want to do is start to build my hub and spoke.
Okay.
So, the site you just looked at is sort of like the host or the inner. And then I want to put landing pages all the way around it for all the different products and all the different lead capture pages, one of which is going to be the enrollment page for the coaching program.
Yeah.
And so I need to know how to do that.
Okay. Do you have is it Rich or Richard Johnson?
Rich is fine.
Okay. So do you own richjohnson.com?
I own richjohnsonesq.com. Which is I use that for my law website.
Okay. Oh, Do you have a blog?
I have a blog on another website. Yes.
Okay. You got a blog. And are you doing anything with it?
Periodically, not as much as I'd like to, because I've got to do stuff to generate income. So sometimes there's a competing priorities here.
My
priority right now is launching a membership site.
Okay, so do you have any domains flying around that you can use or move over?
Yeah, I've got like maybe a dozen or 15 domains.
Okay. Usually what I recommend to people is that, when we use the hub and spoke, in the start, at the beginning, you use your given name and the blog as the hub.
Okay.
Okay, so, but you've already got that set up someplace, and then you're adding spokes to it over time.
Right.
Okay. And then generally what happens is that as you start adding products and services to it, you end up creating a membership site, which becomes the hub. So like almost like a twin hub kind of thing. You got your blog and the membership site in the middle. And the membership site, again, this is the way the hub and spoke works. The membership site includes all of your products and services all in one place. So they can buy stuff individually or they get everything in the membership site. So the way I recommend is that people start off with a blog and then build into a membership site. But you've got a membership site already, and you've got a blog already. So what you can do is if you want to just start putting some spokes out, if you, let's say for, you're doing investments, right?
Right.
Okay, so here, and is it strictly real estate?
Yeah, strictly real estate. And then I've got a partner that does, like, stocks and bonds and stuff.
Okay.
But primarily the training is really focused on real estate.
Okay, and is it for realtors or buyers and sellers?
It's going to be for investor buyers, realtors as well.
Okay, so let's just look at investor buyers for now. What are some different areas of real estate investment for investor buyers? There's foreclosure.
Foreclosures, yeah. Short sales, tax liens, probates, bankruptcy. Yeah.
Okay, so this is just, okay, just stop there for a sec. This is out of my ignorance because I'm not familiar with U.S. realty law. But let's say, for example, you have a course on foreclosures.
Okay.
So what you would do is, even using my service, you could open up a spoke called, foreclosure realty special or specialties, for example. So you open up a sales page for that particular aspect of real estate investing. Then you have another domain that's going to be called bankruptcyrealestateinvesting.com. And then you add another domain that's called taxlienrealtyinvestment.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then all of those are links to courses or ebooks or products or services that relate to that specific niche of the real estate investing.
Okay.
Okay, so you can add as many of those spokes as you want. And if you want to, at the beginning of those spokes, you put a squeeze page or a pop-up or any kind of a way to capture email addresses, and the reason you want to do that, of course, is you're using your spokes like tentacles, right?
Exactly.
Because you know that if you get someone who's interested in foreclosure, what you want to do is get them started on foreclosure because that's what they were specifically looking for or interested in at this point, but you want to collect the email address, and then you want to start and inform and educate them and let them know how great a guy you are and why you're so brilliant. And then what you want to start doing is you're using the My Small Biz mail autoresponder, and you send them out to the bankruptcy site.
Right.
And you say, oh, you don't want the bankruptcy site? Well, you can get everything here at the membership site, or you know what? We have this special thing on liens.
Right.
And then you just use the autoresponder to send people out to these messages over time. Okay.
Okay.
So if you want to open up, you know, start using your hosting with us, what I would do is get a domain name, if you don't already have one, that is a sort of a piece of the big theme, which is real estate investing. So if you have a domain that's on foreclosures, use that one. If you don't have one, you know, take a look at some of the other pieces to the big answer. What are the little spokes? And then start adding those domains to your account at My Small Biz Web Hosting.
Okay, I'll start doing that. How difficult is it to actually put the squeeze page, the landing page up? And because I've got content and copyright to put up already, I just need the technical aspect of accessing your system and putting up the squeeze page.
Okay.
It shouldn't be that hard.
No. Well, you can go to the mysmallbizusupport.com site.
Okay.
And there's a link on there that says, you know, your client area. So you basically log into your client area, and you'll see my domains and my hosting accounts there, and you're just going to basically click on it, and it'll show you, you know, whatever thing that's either set up or not set up. And actually, let me just look. You didn't. You got one with. You didn't set anything up, I don't think, eh?
No, so I think I was supposed to get like a free thing or something. I never used. I never even logged onto it.
Yeah.
Not the hosting part. So.
Yeah, you know what? If you have a domain, let me know and I'll just set one up for you.
Okay, I'll send it to you. I've got.
Yeah.
I'll
just open a support ticket at My Small Biz U Support.
Okay.
And just say, here's my domain name, and then what I'll do is, I'll add it to the system, and I'll give you some instructions for the name servers. What you have to. Do you know how name servers work?
Yes.
Okay, so you'll have to go to your registrar and just update the name servers to our name servers.
Right.
And then basically you're going to use your FTP client. You'd be able to just copy your existing files over into the public _HTML directory, and your site will be up and running.
Okay, good.
Okay, and there's videos that show you on how to do all that stuff, of course.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect. Now, how do I get PDFs to be embedded in my article page?
Okay. If you have a PDF document and you're using the HTML editor that's in Joomla, what you're going to do is you're going to, you either, actually, if you put the automatic, like if you type in, download this PDF at http://whatever.com/PDF, you know, name.PDF. If you just put the link in, it will turn out as a hyperlink. It'll automatically be a hyperlink. But the problem with that is that after you save it, if someone clicks on it, it's going to open up that PDF and close the Joomla page.
Right.
Okay? So here's what you can do is if you have that particular, preferably what I would suggest you do is that you actually type in, you know, download the PDF, the text PDF, and then use the editor to create a hyperlink for that snippet of text. And across the top in the editor, there's one that looks like a little chain link.
Right.
So you click on that, and it will give you where you want, where the actual physical file is, right?
Right.
So where are you keeping the PDFs now? Are you just keeping them up on the server?
Yeah, they're on my website server in a separate file called docs.
Okay. And do you want these protected or?
No, if they got access to the site, they're okay, yeah.
Okay, so what you would do is where the link is, you would put HTTP, you know, :// esqventures.com/docs/ file.pdf or whatever it is.
Right.
Okay, so you put that link in, but there's also a tab on the little window that shows up where you put the link, and I think it says advanced or something.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah, and when you click on it, it'll say target, the one that says target, and you want to select the one that says new blank.
Okay.
Okay. And what happens is that when you go and save all of that, next time someone clicks on it, it'll open up a completely different browser window with the PDF in that window.
Ah, gotcha.
Okay.
Now, I've done that.
They can save it if they want to.
Okay. So they can save it. Okay, good. Now, I've done that. I did that last night. I didn't do the advanced target part.
Yeah.
I had it set up so it can open within, I guess, the existing window. But I could change that. But the problem I ran into was when I click on that link, it took me to the logon page for my server.
Okay, then that means that you've got, or your webmaster has got, that directory called docs. It's password protected.
Gotcha.
So you either have to go and ask him to make that directory public, or you create another directory that's just called documents or files or PDFs or whatever you want to call it, have that one as an open directory for people to download.
I think he's got all of my sub-folders protected because I created docs last night as a new one just to test it.
Okay.
I'll get with him on that.
Yeah, and if you know how to do it, you can actually, it's called permissions or chmod or chown, it's actually called a chown modification. And what it is when you're using your FTP client, do you know how to use FTP?
Yeah, I've got one I use.
Okay, so when you can actually do it yourself, what you can do is you can go to the log into your FTP account and find that folder and do a right mouse click on the folder, and one of the ones will say permissions or properties, depending on which FTP client.
Okay.
And when it says permissions, you'll probably see that it's one that's public is no access to it.
Gotcha.
So you want to make sure that public has read access only, but not write access.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, because if you don't want the public to be able to write files to your document
yeah.
folder, but you want
yeah.
them to be able to read files.
Right.
In this case, it's the PDF file, right?
Yes.
Okay, and just a heads up that if there's a whole bunch of files in there and you make this change to the folder, again, depending on your FTP client, it may change the folder but not change all the individual files.
Okay.
So you can have an individual file that's in a public folder, but the individual file is not public.
Gotcha.
So just go and check. Just go and check after. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough. Great.
Okay.
Perfect. So ConfusionSoft, huh?
Yeah. That's what I've heard it referred to as.
It is confusing. I'm not going to lie, it is confusing.
Yeah.
But, it's one of those things, the thing with technology, as you probably know, is a lot of it is trial and error.
Yeah.
And another part of it, too, is like when you invest into something, like you said before, you kind of wedded to it at least to get your return on investment back.
Exactly.
So,
And you certainly invested in Infusionsoft.
Actually, I caught a Black Friday special.
Did you? Oh, good for you.
I worked out pretty good, and they changed it. And for this year, they changed it significantly. I got the whole Sheboygan for real good deal. So, if I get a couple members on board and start coaching, it'll pay for itself.
And I'm not knocking it. Mm-hmm. Again, it depends on what you need to do and what your business needs to do. The way that I used to be in the Salesforce automation software sales business, so that's kind of where I came from. And I looked at it when it was in the early days, but I'm just trying to keep things a little bit simpler.
The one
thing I have learned is that, and again, this is something that we're all customers, but most customers are stupid.
Yeah.
and
the learning curve costs. It costs.
Yeah. So you don't want to have to get your customers to have to learn how to order from you.
Right.
So.
Right. Right.
Keep it simple. Stupid. You know how that works.
Exactly. Simple
yeah.
the better.
And that's the other thing, too, like just between you and me, in the courses, one of the things that I always did is because I've done so many of them, I always assume that people always know more than they do.
Yeah, that's typical because I talk real estate and I assume that a lot of people know what I'm talking about and I have to catch myself. Yeah.
Like even I try and I asked you a couple times and said, do you know how to use an FTP client?
Yeah.
And I didn't do it to be, disrespectful. I did it because a lot of people that I talk to have no idea how to use an FTP client.
Right, right.
But it's something that you and I maybe have been using for 10 years or 15 years, but other people, it's just new to them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so just on your videos, make sure that you do keep something simple for people who are not real estate investors at this point. And that there still is a market for those people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
For sure. Great. It's been great. Can I get a copy of the recording?
Yeah. What'll happen? I'm going to put this one up. I recorded it, so I'll put this one up, and you'll be able to download it. And I have a download manager on my Joomla site that allows people to actually download the files.
Excellent.
And that was the other thing that, if you get to the point where you have lots of downloads, like GoToMeeting downloads, and you want people to download WMV files or give them stuff, you can actually, give them access later on down the line.
All right.
Okay?
Now, for the membership module, just to back up.
Yep.
There was one membership module that you talked about before. That you use. There was two of them.
Yeah, there's A Member.
Yeah.
A Member is the one that I recommend for Joomla.
Okay.
And there's a couple things that it does really, really well. It has a built-in affiliate program. It has a built-in autoresponder into it, but it also has plugins for My Small Biz Mail and Autoresponse Plus. And I believe there's one for AWeber, but it doesn't work properly. And it also manages all of the usernames and passwords in Joomla as well as AMember.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, I remember watching that video. Okay, good. So I'll get that and use that one. And
okay, well, yeah, but the AMember, though, that means you're not using Infusionsoft if you're using that.
Okay.
That's why I was, you know, we talked about that a little bit at the beginning. Like, I would, if you've got other products and services and stuff already set up with Infusionsoft, I would get on the Infusionsoft discussion boards or speak to the sales team and say, look, what do you got that hooks up Infusionsoft to Joomla?
Okay.
Do that first instead of changing systems.
Okay. We'll do.
Okay, and if you get stuck with that, let me know, and then or you know, put something in the forum at the bottom. Now, when you say My Small Biz, you know I upgraded the site.
Yes, I did.
Okay, so go to mysmallbizwebhosting.com for now.
Okay.
And the My Small Biz U will actually go to the same site shortly, but right now it's two different sites. One is the old Joomla. My Small Biz U is the old Joomla. And My Small Biz Web Hosting is the new version of Joomla.
Okay.
Okay, but the reason I did it is because the username and password that you use at My Small Biz U support, you know, for the help desk and the billing, it's your email address and a password. You now use the same email address and password to log into My Small Biz Web Hosting.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay, so use the My Small Biz Web Hosting site, and your email address and password will get you to log in just up in the top right. And in the forums there's one at the bottom forum is about Joomla. So if you have the Infusionsoft question, put it in there, and I'll answer it the best I can or do a video on it.
Perfect.
Okay?
Perfect. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. No problem. All right. And I'll have the audio up probably tomorrow. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thanks again.
No problem. Thanks for coming on. Right. And someone else come on?
I heard someone did come on.
Yeah. If there's any questions, let me know, because it's 2 o'clock. I'm going. going. Unmute yourself. No, that's it. We'll call it a day then. Okay, take care.
All right, thank you again.
Okay, no problem. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, that's the end of another open coaching call. We talked for an hour about Joomla, some of the key components and stuff that we always run into. And again, I hope you enjoyed it. And we'll be back again on Monday for another open coaching. Take care.